Hi everyone, and welcome to Final Score with the Score. Chelsea 2, Bournemouth 2 in the Premier League. Very eventful match. But Chelsea now 5 games without a win in the Premier League, which is concerning. But it seems to be a game that's very reminiscent of a lot of recent games. First half absolutely dominated the game. Probably should have been out of sight. Cole Palmer scored an incredible goal after some great work from Nicholas Jackson. That put us 1-0 up. Second half, Bournemouth came out really well. We didn't. And got a penalty given away by Caicedo. Really sloppy penalty to give away, really. And equalised then. There was an incident, which we will talk about later, with the goalkeeper. Sorry, not with the goalkeeper, with Cucurella, where he should have been sent off. David Brooks should have been sent off and wasn't. And then Bournemouth go up and score a second goal. Really bad goal again to give away. Bad defensively, bad from the goalkeeper again. Robert Sanchez, how many times? And then from the bench, Reece James comes up with an absolute gem of a free kick. Absolutely magic, right under the nose of Thomas Tuchel as well. Brilliant free kick to get us a point. And yes, we didn't win, but I think like that free kick at the end, I think it felt like it gave everyone a lift. That might help me. Hopefully that's the lift that we need, because we do need a lift right now. So Chelsea drew today. Man City also drew today, I think 2-2 from 2-0 up against Brentford. So the tables, we're still fourth in the table, actually. Believe it or not, because Nottingham Forest also drew. So Newcastle can go above us if they win. They have to win. So we're still very much in the top four race. We can start putting some wins together again soon, then we can get right back into it. But obviously a disappointing result. I'm joined again by Rambles, and welcome Rambles.
Your thoughts? Evening, guys. So yeah, I've had time to gather my thoughts after the game, and I'm not being reactionary when I say this, but I think tonight we really need to start looking for sporting directors. Because to me, this squad, you know, the squad build, we need more. And I'm very concerned about the players we're being linked with. This game was further evidence. We need experience in this squad. And, you know, you look at Jackson, you know, I love Jackson. He's a brilliant player. But in recent weeks, he has missed a lot of good chances. And we don't have anyone really off the bench who can provide any support or competition, and the main target we seem to be looking at is Liam Delap. Now, I'm a big fan of Delap, but we need to bring experience into this squad. You know, we're looking at Matthias Tell, who's a great player, but you know, he's hardly playing at Bayern Munich. You know, Matt Law put an article out today or a headline that a young defender's being looked at. You know, this squad planning to me, you know, we keep experiencing the same problems game after game after game. Things don't go our way and we kind of lose our heads. You know, we fall off in games, and that is due to lack of experience. But yet, every player we seem to be being heavily linked with is very young and inexperienced.
Yeah, I think the only player that we've been linked with who I would call experienced is Mark Geary, because he's been playing for 3 years in the Premier League. He's got international experience. I think one of the reasons they want him is that he is a captain and a leader, and the defence doesn't have that, as we see today. Like, you know, Josh is a great player, right? He's potentially a world-class talent. I absolutely believe that. But like today, I think we saw why he's not ready to start the Premier League every single week, right? Like he needs to be eased in, and he needs an experienced head in that defence. And even Levi Cobble probably needs that. He's only 21. You know, He's not the finished article yet either. So yeah, I agree with you on that. I mean, like Louis and I have been saying that. I think you've been saying that too, for quite a while. That you know, that we wanted to We need to sign some players that are proven in their positions.
And you know, we look at the striker position, and you know, the club have got a lot of confidence in Nicholas Jackson, and rightly so. I think he's going to be a huge player for us. But is Liam Delap the right player to bring in alongside him? Would we be better going for someone like an Osimhen or a Jokeres, someone who, you know, who's been there, done that, and done it at international level?
The only thing I would say about those two is they haven't played in the Premier League, and Delap has played in the Premier League and he's done well in the Premier League. I would still be happy to sign Liam Delap, but I think you're right. But I also think you're right about having a bit more proven experience in the squad. So that sounds a bit weird, but thanks for that little that rambles. We'll get into some discussion points. We want to hear from you as well. You know, this is your club. This is your show. We want you to be involved. We want to hear your views. I can see some good people there. Do request. We've got some people requesting already, and I'll definitely bring you up in a minute. The first topic I wanted to talk about, though, I want to just talk about that Reece James free kick, because honestly, it was just world class. And you know, Reece James got a lot of stick this season, and he's been injured and things, and like, but he, you know, a big moment when we needed him, he showed up. And it really was a great free kick. And, it got me excited because it's Reece James, because he struggled so much, and now he's come back into the team and he's come off the bench and got us an equaliser when we really needed it. And I thought that was really, really good. Like, what did you think of that Reece James free kick?
Oh, it was absolutely superb free kick. And that's what Reece is capable of. I just hope now that he can get an extended run of games, because a fully fit Reece James will take us up so many levels, because he is, for me, he's the best right back in world football. And he provides that balance of being good defensively, and he offers so much going forward.
Absolutely. I mean, we saw that today, right? And I was at the game on Saturday, and his corners were just like, it made all the difference. Every corner was dangerous. You know, and we headed some good chances over, but his corner taking was immaculate. Like, if we can keep him fit, and that's the big if, because, you know, that's not really ever happened at Chelsea. But if we can have him fit for at least a run of games, it will make us better. 100%. You know, and he's a bit more experienced now. He's a bit older. He's, you know, he's played a few seasons at Chelsea. He's won the Champions League. You know, he's been through a lot of stuff. So he's got some experience, you know, I would say. He's won trophies, which not many of this squad have. So yeah, I hope we can have him back and get him back into the team, for the next run of games. We're only playing one Premier League game a week this month. So, you know, maybe you could play him 60 minutes in each game or something like that. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, because those 60 minutes could make a huge difference. And I think every Chelsea fan wants what's good for Reece James, because he's one of us. He's come through Cobham, you know, he's worked his way up into the first team. He was brilliant for the first team for a long time and helped us win the Champions League. And then he's had these injuries, which have, you know, I don't think all of them are his fault. And, you know, it's just really sad, because he's such a good player, and he's such a good guy to have around the team. And obviously he's still the captain as well, you know, captain's goal today, really, to get his team out of trouble, and save us from another defeat. So yeah, I'm just really pleased for him. But he won't be happy. Yeah, he will want it to win as well. So, yeah, absolutely. But I just thought, before we get into all the critical negative stuff, which we're going to get into, and you know, there's some stuff that needs to be talked about in that respect, that we'll get. We just mentioned Reece James. I think that goal was great from him, and it was just at the right moment. And you know, must be good to get all that pent up frustration out that he's had being injured. So yeah, well done to Reece James. We love Reece James. We hope he can stay fit 100%. So I'm going to bring up Randall's. Get your rant or rave ready. I'm going to bring up Auth CFC, right? And we're going to get him to share his views. Welcome up. We're looking forward to hearing from you. Right, Auth, Let us know your thoughts on the game. Just unmute yourself and we'll go.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I hope you guys are doing well. I'm very disappointed with today's game. I'm going to get into it straight away. I'm very disappointed. The first half, you know, I'll tell you something. It might sound strange, but in the first half, when Jackson missed that chance from Madueke, I knew it. I just knew it. It's going to be one of those days. Those half chances, they need to go in. I'm sorry. We will never get back to the level we were if we don't score those half chances. It's very disappointing. That half chance, and I think he had another one in the second half. And I'm not just picking on Jackson. This is a team. Like, the whole team is not, we don't score the half chances. The only player, I think, besides Reece James with the free kick, I think Enzo was okay today. Enzo was okay, but the rest, they look out. Again, I mentioned it the last game, but Palmer didn't do anything today. It's okay to take him off. Like, you don't have to play him 90 minutes every time. It's okay. It's fine. He doesn't have to play. He scored a great goal. I think he got injured or something, but by the 50th, 68th minute, he should be off. Change. Like, Palmer was very disappointing again today. We know because he's such a good player. We expect a lot from him. And this is not a criticism, but it's okay to change him. That's fine. You have Felix on the bench. You had Neto on the bench. You had Nkunku on the bench, even if he was leaving. I was surprised to see him on the bench today. Change it. He wasn't good today. And I think Enzo was the only one trying to create stuff, and you can't do it on your own.
Yeah, I think you got a good point about Palmer needing an alternative to Palmer, because he does look tired recently.
He does. Yeah. And just one more thing, if you don't mind. I heard the Dilap, we're linked with Dilap or something. This is, it's just a reaction. It's not going to be good. Buying a player like that in January, it's not a good option. He's not going to solve our problems. He's not going to come in and we're going to start winning again. You never know. He might struggle, and they're going to milk a lot of money out of the club. I'm not aware of his contract, if he still has a long contract with Ipswich, but you buy him, he's going to cost a lot, and he's not going to fix anything. If, at least in January, he's not going to do anything in January. It's just, it's a mess. If they buy him, it's just a reaction, to be honest with you.
To be fair, Liam Lapp is a long-term target. I think he was getting linked to some real player when we were winning every week. So I don't think it's just a reactionary link, but I get your point, you know, that we don't want to make a reactionary signing.
Yeah, it's going to look like a reaction right now. It's going to look like a reaction. And finally, one quick point so I can leave. The ref, I'm not going to blame him for the draw. Oh. I was going to say defeat, but he was disgusting today. There was, I just noted two actions. The first one, obviously, is Cucurella, the red card. Yeah. And I was listening on TV, and the VAR told him, that's a gift for you. They recommended that red card, and he just changed it to yellow card. And the last one, the free kick that Reece James scored, that player had a yellow card, I think. And where's the red card? I know it wouldn't have made any changes or anything, but still.
I didn't actually know this. So VAR actually recommended a red card.
Yeah. I heard it on the commentary. They told him that's a gift for you. Yeah. Check it. They told him that's a gift for you. They recommended a red card.
Oh my word. I mean, that's three games. I was going to get onto this later, but three games in a row, we've been screwed over by referees.
Exactly.
Against Ipswich, they gave a penalty for a dive.
Exactly.
It's never a penalty.
Yep.
So that means we go, if that doesn't happen, it's 0-0, right? They don't get the momentum. They don't get the confidence. Like, you know, we probably at least get a draw in that game. Maybe even a win.
Yeah.
Right. At the end against Palace, when it was one, I think it, when it was 1-0, we had a penalty that wasn't given.
Yeah.
And it was a penalty. And if we score that, it's 2-0, and their late goal doesn't matter, and we win the game.
And the guy who committed the free kick in the end, the free kick that we scored, I think, I could be wrong, but I think he was on the yellow. I know we had only like a couple of minutes left, but still, a yellow is a yellow. Red is a red. So.
Absolutely, 100%. And yeah, we're not saying that that's changed, that excuses the result of the performance, but it doesn't help, you know, and it really is. It's becoming like a regular thing, like every game.
Yeah.
Getting really bad decisions, which are, you know, big decisions. Like if they go down to 10 men at 1-1, you know, do they get the second goal? You know, do we get a winner? You know, it's, we might get a winner against 10 men, right?
You never know.
But it changes the whole complexion of the game.
Yeah.
And you can't get these decisions wrong. You know, it's actually consistently bad. It's not even inconsistent anymore. It's just consistently bad. You can't depend on the referees at all.
If I found the commentary, I might post it. I might send it to you because the games are pre-recorded. If I find that portion where they say it's a gift for you, but you can do whatever. They recommended red card, but he switched it. If I find it, I'll send it to you I'll tag you on
it. That's absolutely shocking.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you guys. Appreciate the opportunity to talk to you guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming up.
Thank you very much.
Rambles. You're welcome. What do you think of that, Rambles? That, you know, that they recommended a red and they gave a yellow.
I mean, to be honest with you, you know, every single game now, these decisions are just getting worse and worse. You know, the officiating in this country is just absolutely laughable. And I've been saying for a number of years now, we should look at bringing the best officials from Europe over to the Premier League, because the standard of the officiating in our league, just on the floor, is just absolutely dreadful. And it's just ruining the game now, because every game is just becoming a talking point. And it doesn't matter, who you support, it's happening to every single team. I hear people saying, oh, so-and-so has got an agenda against our team. You know, there's no agenda, it's just officiating just really is that bad.
Yeah, it's just that bad, and that's and it just affects everybody. And it's ruining my enjoyment of football. I can't enjoy a game of football because I know that any moment a referee could absolutely mess it up. You know, they could give a penalty that's not a penalty against us, and who gets the blame for that? Maresca, even though it's nothing to do with him. You know, it's just an abysmal refereeing decision. And the referees are never accountable. They're never accountable. They don't have to front up to the cameras. They never get punished. If people, they get criticized by managers, the managers get punished instead of the referees. Like, it's just one of the things I despise about the game the most right now is the quality of the officiating or the lack of quality. It's ruining the game. It'll ruin the game. People will stop watching because they think, well, my team's just going to get screwed over by a bad decision any minute. You know, even though that's totally, it was the wrong decision, it can cost us a point or 2 points or whatever, like, you know, 3 points. It's just ridiculous. And yeah, it has to end. It has to absolutely end. So yeah, I think we can all agree on that. And, I think a lot of fans from different clubs will agree on that as well. The standard of refereeing in the Premier League is at its lowest point and it has to change. So yeah, having said all that, I just want to ask callers, please do keep requesting, please do ask to come up. We want to hear from you. We want to get your views on the game. Your views matter. This is for you, this show, so do make sure you request to come up. Obviously be respectful at all times and respect other people's views, but we'd love to hear from you. Also, make sure you check out the Chelsea Echo Twitter account. There's so much great content on that account on a regular basis. We're on there. So do check that account. It means you can keep up when these episodes are going out as well, because we post them on that account. So make sure you check out the Chelsea Echo Twitter account. So, Rambles, it's time. I'm guessing it's a rant today.
It is, yes.
Is it someone we've already talked about, or is it something?
Yeah, it's an issue we've spoken about. Yeah.
Oh, go on then. What is it?
It's Lauren Stewart and Paul Winstanley. You know, they need to be looked at now, and their squad building / planning. And after tonight's game, we need to go and attack the market for some experience, because this game is just further proof that we lack experience in games. When things get tough, when things go against us, we tend to fall apart. And that's largely due to the lack of experience in the squad. And if we carry on like we are, we're just going to experience the same problems again and again and again and again. And everyone I speak to is saying the same thing. You know, we need to bring in someone now, ideally someone who can score goals. And the players we're being linked with are all very young. You know, you bring in young players into to this environment, you're just adding more pressure to them. And, you know, you're not, it's not good for them. You know, we could bring in Matheus Tell tomorrow. And, you know, he's got huge potential. But is it the right environment to be bringing Matheus Tell in? We need someone who can get those goals. And we're looking at players who are very inexperienced. I know Osimhen and Jokeres. Osimhen in particular is not a hugely popular name because of what happened in the summer. But at least if you bring him in, he's got that experience. He's done it on the highest stage in the biggest of games. And he Jackson.
He probably scores that chance that Jackson misses tonight.
Yeah, he does.
Absolutely. I think somebody said to me actually during the game that they built a first team, but not a squad. And I think that's true. You know, like, you know, if you look at our first choice team, it's not a bad team. You know, Cucurella, Levi Colwill, you know, Wesley Fofana when he's fit, Reece James, you know, Enzo, Caicedo, Lavia, Palmer, Jackson, Sancho, you know, and anyone you want to think of at the right wing, Nito or whatever. But it's the second string, the squad players, the rotation players that aren't, well, they're conference league level, right? Well, they're too good for the conference league, but they're seemingly not good enough back up in the Premier League, right? And that's one of the reasons the squad is so tired. You know, I think, you know, we haven't been able to rotate five or six players. Like the last, nine Premier League games since December the 1st. So in the last 6 weeks, six players, I think, or five or six players have played all of them, including Cole Palmer, who we've already mentioned, looked a bit tired tonight. And that's not sustainable. If you want to be in the top four race, you've got to have quality in depth. You've got to have, Enzo Moretta's got to feel confident that the players he brings on are going to win him the game.
I mean,
that's not his fault. It's the sporting director's fault because they built the squad. And also I would say as well, it's something I said, you know, we've had problem seasons the last two seasons, this season and last season, right? As well as the last 6 months of the season before. And there are two common denominators in that time, and that is the sporting directors. You know, they've been there the whole time. They've been signing players from January 2023 and building this squad from then. And so there's got to be some accountability for them because it's unfair otherwise. You can't keep blaming managers and changing managers with the same squad and expecting different results. You know, there's got to be accountability at some point. You know, and this is not a personal dig at either of them. They're both nice people as far as I know. And like, you know, and they've made some good signings in some areas, but they haven't got squad building skills. And at this level, you need to build an elite squad and you need someone who knows how to do that. You know, I mean, like the Atletico Madrid sporting director who built several squads for, Simeone.
Has just left.
I think his name is Berta.
Yeah.
He's a top-class, proven sporting director. And also, Todd Boehly apparently wanted him back in 2022. He's available. He's literally unemployed right now. Like, you can't tell me he wouldn't, someone like him. And again, he's experienced. Now, with respect to our sporting directors, they have never worked at a big club before now. They've never worked at a big club.
And like, we don't actually need that much. We just need, you know, as you say, if we've got the guy from Atletico Madrid in now, he can just, we don't need a lot, but we just need someone, as you say, being at a big club and making just tell the owners, right, we need this, this and this. And right, you know, they've been there, done it and got the t-shirt.
Absolutely. I think, you know, and I think that they need to be, the sporting directors need to be had book out long before we talk about Enzo Maresca. Because then they're asking him to have a squad trust, right? People talk about his substitutions. Well, maybe, quite frankly, he doesn't trust what he's been given by the sporting directors. You know, and that's probably what it is. I mean, he made changes today. He brought on Nito, he brought on Felix, he brought on Reece James. Like, you know, he did make changes today. I mean, one of them paid off, you know, Reece James. He got him the equaliser.
Speaking of Felix, I was going to bring him up. I mean, is it now time we need to start playing Felix from the start to give Cole Palmer more of a rest?
I watched Felix at the weekend, and yes, it's Morecambe. I'm going to caveat that. It was Morecambe. Okay, but what I saw from him was work ethic. He was tracking back. When he lost the ball, he went and won it back. You know, he was working really hard. He was making some good, intelligent runs. The finishes were excellent. The second one, especially, whoever you're playing against, that's still a world-class finish. And I don't think he did anything wrong. You know, so I think, I don't think there's any reason why he shouldn't at least be given an opportunity. I don't think he's done anything wrong. He seems to have the right attitude and the right approach. He wants to succeed. I wasn't a big fan of him signing. You know, I was really against him signing, and, I've never been one of his biggest fans, but I'm gonna give credit where it's due, you know, and, yes, it was Morecambe, but I think there's when you've got players tiring and stuff, and when some attackers aren't firing, you know, give him an opportunity. If he doesn't take it, take him off. It's fine. That's football. Substitutions happen. Yeah, absolutely agree with that. I know some people just have this agenda against him, and like, just for maybe what he represents, I don't know, or that he's lazy but I don't see, from what I've seen of him, he's not lazy. He looks lazy because he's quite lax today, kind of his body language, you know, but I don't think he is lazy. And he's capable. He's got the ability to do great stuff. But the problem with him is consistency. But you know, give him a chance. You know, there's no reason why not to at the moment. But I mean, again, if Mercy didn't want him, and then they bought him anyway, that's not good either. You know, I know that the sporting directors build the squad, right? Yeah, that's their job. But you've got to involve the manager at some level, in terms of the kind of players that he would like, or the profile of players that he'd like, and maybe a few names that he can suggest. I don't know. But he's got to be involved in the conversation, at least. It doesn't sound like he is. And we had this last season with Pochettino, where he wasn't consulted on transfers and didn't get what he asked for and all that kind of thing. You know, Maresca apparently didn't want Kin and Dewsbury Hall, right? That was a sporting director signing. And look at that. It's completely failed. So the sporting directors need to be held to account, and only when they have been held to account, and when Maresca has been actually given a squad that he believes in and that he can use, then I will judge Enzo Maresca a lot more harshly, right? And I'm not saying he hasn't made mistakes, because he probably has, right? And you know, I think he should be making more substitutions and better substitutions. You know, that's my biggest criticism of him. But overall, I think he's a good coach. I think he's tactically really good. I think, we score a lot of goals with him. I think, you know, players seem to like playing for him. And I think he's made an effort to connect with the fans. And so, I don't have a problem with him getting a second season at the moment. I think it's ridiculous to talk about changing managers again, because we can't keep going through this magic bullet routine of changing managers. It's not always the problem. You know, it's not the magic bullet that solves everything, you know. And again, the sporting director should be held to account before he is.
100%, because for me, we've still got the same problems which we had last summer.
Yeah, and they've been here longer than Maresca. Maresca's been here 6 months. They've been here like 3 years now, you know, and this is basically their squad. So they've got to be held to account for me. And that's not a personal thing. It's just, you know, you do a job, you've got to be held accountable for it. And they've got to sort something out this window, because they've got to give Maresca tools to do his job.
This is the thing I find really kind of baffling, because, you know, they've been really, really kind of ruthless with the players. You know, Conor Gallagher, Aubameyang, Koulibaly, Ben Chilwell. And I agree with all those decisions. But yet the two guys above the manager, Winstanley and Stewart, to me, they've made a lot of mistakes, and they seem to be getting away with these mistakes.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And yeah, I'm not even saying they should be sacked necessarily, just held accountable. You know, what's going on? Why are all these signings that you're making failing? Why is all this money that we're spending not working out? You know?
And next summer will be the third summer in a row. We're looking for a new number one goalkeeper.
And a new striker.
Yeah.
Yeah, because again, I mean, we could go talk about Sanchez again and his mistake for the goal, but basically their first two chances were all about Sanchez, pretty much. But we've had that conversation so often now, it's just, you know, it's getting boring. But we know about that already. Anyway, Louis is here. Louis's been at the game. I'm pretty sure he's got some strong opinions for us. Louis.
You're being way too nice about Maresca. You're being way, way, way too nice about Maresca. That, I'm sorry. This is what, the fifth or sixth game in a row where he's made the same mistakes and he'll just try and deflect it with, you know, we were good on the ball, we were good off the ball in the half spaces. No, Enzo, I'm sorry. Second half, Chelsea were awful. This is the worst I've seen Chelsea play this season, that second half. Worse. Probably on a par maybe with Ipswich. And we can talk about creating chances and all this sort of stuff. The team plays in a pattern. We've been figured out. Sanchez is a big part of that, by the way. No, we're not going to talk about the mistake he made, because again, we could say that over and over. What we haven't said is, evidently, I don't know what it is, but my dad made a really good point. He was talking about Roy Keane. Right, I know someone's going to be rolling their eyes at this now, right? But good players or good teams, the manager takes accountability. Great teams, the players take accountability. These players aren't taking accountability, not because they're incapable of, but because they've clearly been told to play in a simple pattern. Example, Sanchez gets the ball, holds it, waits, everyone's getting set, then starts playing it short. Like that's the same, and it's the same pattern over and over and over and over. Not to mention the fact that he makes a substitution, an attacking substitution, when Chelsea needs to win the game, with 10 minutes of the 90 left to play. I'm sorry, but he's done that every week, every single time. And we can talk about how the depth of the squad isn't good enough. The sport directors are to blame for that. I agree with you. This team isn't where people think it is. I agree with all of that. We'll say the same things. But I'm sorry, Enzo Maresca needs to make some decisions and he needs to actually start to take accountability, because that was dreadful. Chelsea should not be drawing with Bournemouth. Yes, Bournemouth are playing well. They're not a bottom of the half Premier League team. They're very solid, right? But that is awful. It's shocking. The quality of players that we have in that team, that result shouldn't be happening. Chelsea had the opportunity, as they have done over the past 5 or 6 games, to be clear by the end of the first half. 2 or 3-0 up. Were we? No. And what happened? Bournemouth got straight back into the game, and that was it.
Is Maresca on the pitch shooting those chances as well? Is that his fault?
I'm not saying that. It's the player's fault as well. Everyone's got a small part to blame, but he had the opportunities there to have an impact on the game and make changes and make differences score. Like, honestly, we can talk about, you know, the amount of shots we had, the amount on target, whatever, but just with the eye test, mate, it's not good enough. It's not enough. You can see it with your eyes.
If we're creating enough chances and we're having enough shots on goal, then the system's working. And by the way, I will say this. If you want to have a team that wins the Premier League and Champions League, you've got to play. This is how every top team plays. They play this kind of football. They don't play the Antonio Conte or Jose Mourinho. Everyone sit back. Let's hit them on the counter attack.
No,
absolutely.
Liverpool
don't do that. Man City don't do that. Arsenal don't do that. Like Newcastle don't do well. But it's this is how we're going to play. Whoever the manager.
Yeah, but that's fine score. But the difference is with all those teams, they're all adaptable. They're all adaptable. We've shown no fluidity and no adaptability. Look, even little things, right? I'm talking playing a long ball, being a bit more direct in the game, the players taking that initiative to do so. Granted, it might not be, but clearly it's not the players. It's the manager talking about playing a very precise shape. It's a very precise shape. Everything's one way. It's this way. It's that way, which is, by the way, what we moaned at Sarri for. Because there was no fluidity, no adaptability. When you're up against it, and when a team figures you out, which, by the way, the last 5 or 6 games, we have been figured out. The manager, there's no second thing.
We haven't.
Score, you can't tell me that we haven't been figured out. Are you kidding me?
You can't tell me.
We've not won.
Respectfully, you can't say we've been figured out when we're creating 15, 20 chances a game, we're having 5 or 6 shots on target, and the only reason we're not scoring goals is because players are not taking those chances, not because we're not having the chances. Like, if we have a proper striker today, we're probably 3-0 up at half-time, and nobody says any of this stuff. Like, it's not about, to me, it's not about the system being found out is that we're not taking our chances.
It's the same things. Having the chances. It's the same things happened. We've not won.
The system is working.
We've not won a Premier League
game. Nobody's stopped chances. So how is the system not working?
We've not won a Premier League game in a month. That's how the system's not working.
And? Yeah, it's because we're not scoring goals. And that's nothing to do with Maresca or the system. It's because players are missing chances they should be scoring. Like Nicholas Jackson missed chances against... He missed chances against... I can't remember. Who was it? Palace? He missed chances today. Like, a proper striker scores those chances and we win those games. And then nobody is complaining about the system. And nobody's complaining about Maresca because we've won the game.
Okay.
Like, I don't understand. If we weren't creating chances, I would agree with
but
you.
But the issue is...
We were having, like, no shot... Like two or three shots in a game, I would agree with you that we've been found.
There's
out.
No pressure.
But
on,
I don't think we have.
There's no pressure on Jackson whatsoever. He'll be starting the next game.
Yeah, and he knows it, and that's it. And that's not his fault. It's the sporting directors for not giving him proper competition.
But then at the same time, right? Internally, I granted the players may not be of a similar caliber. But then that's where, even for example, where we've seen Mark Giroud come on in the Crystal Palace game, he just put him on because. You know, it goes and contradicts everything Maresca's been saying. If you train well, you play well, you start. So the manager is now not making the changes, making substitutions. So ergo, it goes back to the manager, maybe not having the depth agreed with the sporting directors, by the way. I'm not disagreeing with you there, but it goes back to the manager not being brutal enough just to make the changes and do things because he's stuck with one system and he doesn't want to be malleable. I get what you're saying about the system might be working, right? Right, in terms of the numbers and all that sort of stuff. Score, eye test, he cannot tell me it's working. If he doesn't have the players to play a system, he needs to adapt what he wants to do so that we can get the best out of the team for the time being. We had a great run at the beginning of the season, but now we have been figured out. The second half says that in every single game over the past six games.
Well, I'm never going to agree with that, but I respect your opinion, Louis. That's what this is all about. It's about healthy debate. And I think we can all agree, though, that we need to sign players.
Absolutely.
Right? I think is that it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think we need it all. We need a striker, we need a centre back, probably need a goalkeeper. Yeah.
Absolutely. But anyway, lads, I'll leave you to crack on.
Have a good one.
Take care, man.
Yeah, I'm going
to go. Cheers. Larry. Good to see you.
Cheers, mate. Take care. Thanks. Bye.
Whoa. I love a heated debate. It's good. It's good when people get passionate about Chelsea. I love Louis, by the way. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
We just disagree on things, and that is. That's what this show is about. It's about
respectful debate.
We all care about this. Yeah, I mean, I have, like, Louis, I have a huge respect for Louis's opinions, and he's not totally untrue, you know, in my view. But, like, yeah, I mean, everyone's opinions matter. That's what this show is about. I won't agree with all of your opinions either. And you won't agree with mine. Oh, I get attacked for my opinions quite a lot. I get called all sorts of things. So, healthy debate, that's what this is all about. Rambles, what are your thoughts on all of that? Like, where do you fall on the kind of, how much is Maresca to blame?
I mean, I look at the bench and I look at the subs that are being made and the time the substitutions are being made, and it tells me that he doesn't fully trust the options off the bench. You know, as we know, I don't think he trusts Nkunku in the Premier League. And obviously, Marquis is very young. So you're relying on one striker, pretty much. And we've seen in recent games, Jackson's missed quite a few fairly good chances. And of course, he will get the brunt of the blame. But he's still only 23. He needs help. Jackson needs help. You know, our wingers aren't scoring many goals. Ideally, we need a winger who can get 8 to 10 goals per season. And yet we're looking at a 19-year-old, I think, Tellez, and he can't even get into the Bayern side. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And to be fair, the Bayern side's got Harry Kane.
Yeah, the Bayern side is very... Yeah. But I also think you're signing youngsters, you need to bring youngsters into the right environment. No, I think it's unfair in youngsters if you just bring them in and you just throw them in, you know, throw them in at the deep end. If you want these youngsters to succeed, you've got to bring them into the right environment. And I'm questioning now, is this the right environment for some of these potential young targets to come in and succeed? And I would possibly say, no, it's not. Because I think they need experience around them. They need players they can learn from. And we've got so many youngsters who are still learning.
absolutely agree. I think, you know, we've got a lot of young talent now. You know, we don't need any more project players. I think that is, we need players that are ready to come in and perform now, right?
Personally, if it was me, I would go all out to try and get Mark Gerhey in as soon as possible. You know, even if it meant paying a little bit extra. You know, I would bring him in and I would say to him, right, you and Cole will, you're my first choice centre back from now to the end of the season, and, you know, allow that partnership to grow. And that's going to be beneficial going into next season. And then I would also look at trying to maybe bring Osimhen in if we can. I know that won't be a wholly popular decision because of what happened last summer, but I think those two signings alone, which are potentially gettable this month, they would elevate us to that next level because they bring in leadership, they bring in experience, and that's exactly what we're missing.
Yeah, we are. And we've said this for well over a year. You know, even before the show was starting, I think we were all saying it, and it's not been done.
And I was saying to myself before, ever since really Courtois left, we've never really had a spine. We've had several managers since then, and even the centre backs. But we've never had a settled centre back pairing. You know, there's always been one week it was Christensen and Rudiger, then it was Thiago and Rudiger, then it was Luiz and Cahill, then it was someone else and Cahill. You know, it's been chopping and changing.
Yeah, exactly. And we've never had that. We've had an issue with goalkeepers since Courtois.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line. And we still have an issue with goalkeepers now. And the recruitment the goalkeeping recruitment has been horrendous, quite frankly.
In my opinion, we've just assembled.
Not just this one. You know, Kepa was a flipping awful signing.
We've just assembled.
71 million we've paid for him, honestly.
Since Courtois, we've just assembled a lot of number two goalkeepers, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely agree. Okay, so team is going to come on in a minute. I just want to say, make sure you catch the voice note review of this game. Louis is going off to do that now. And that's a little 3-minute review of the game, which Louis will be doing. And I'm sure you'll get his views there. So make sure you check that out. So team, it's good to have you back. Sorry it's in better circumstances, but
I know.
But here we are.
How's it going?
Hey teams, how you doing?
I was just
listening to the game?
Yeah, I watched the game and I was listening to the Chelsea Rambles. And I agree with you, like I remember in the summer saying that our spine is a problem. I don't have any confidence in the keeper. Centre half pairing I didn't think was strong. Well, I just felt there was a weakness there. Midfield was all right, but I think the backups weren't great. And then obviously the striking options there's no depth there. I'm frustrated at a lot of people today. I think we once again go into January with so much disruption, so much speculation and a very unsettled squad, which is concerning considering we came into this game with no win in four. We now have a situation where I think we cannot leave January without making a sign in. At least two, in my opinion. I would be surprised if we make two though, just because I just don't think we will. We need a centre back. Let's be honest about the situation. I think that the Sassy's time at this club is probably coming to a close. Fofana, I know that he thinks he's going to be back basically the end of February, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I think he's probably out for the season. And then I think Tosin, for me, I know he's a backup, but I think that he's just not in my type of player. So for me, centre back's a weakness. And then there's the striker. I remember coming on earlier, this season and last season talking about Nicholas Jackson. And I think it will come as no surprise to a lot of people on this space that I'm not necessarily his biggest fan. But I'm, again, very angry at the sporting directors that they have allowed us to be in a position where he's basically our only striker, let's be honest. Nkunku's was never a striker, and he looks like he's off. And Ngwei doesn't look like he's trusted. So we're in a position where it's Nicholas Jackson or pretty much nobody. And for a club that is going for Champions League football, trying to compete at the top of the table, that's not good enough. It's not good enough. It wasn't good enough 2 summers ago. It's not good enough this summer, and it's not good enough as we go into January. Chelsea have to go out and get a striker. Nicholas Jackson needs help. In my personal opinion, I'd probably go out and get a first team striker. Unlikely in January, I know, but hey ho, I would have probably looked at that in the summer. That wasn't the case. We have to get a striker. We have to get centre back. If this board does not want our season to implode, those things have to happen. And I agree with your conversation earlier. Chelsea have not had a stable goalkeeper since Courtois left. Courtois left in what, 2018? Am I wrong? 6 years ago.
Yeah.
7 years ago. Like, it's a joke.
Eight years ago.
Almost eight years ago. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. Some of it is obviously not this administration's fault, but I tell you what is their fault. Looking at Robert Sanchez and thinking, even last season he lost his place. He lost his place last season, and you look at him and you think, yeah, he's Chelsea's number one. They almost scored today because he got too comfortable at the back, and that is not the first time that's happened. I think this club needs it. I think we're at a very big crossroads. If we go into one direction, I think next season we're going to be fighting tooth and nail at the top of the table. If they go in another direction, next season we'll be back scrambling for sixth place. And they have a decision to make, in my personal opinion. But one more point and then I will yield, is Maresca again for me wasn't good enough. And I'll tell you why. You can't have premeditated substitutions, in my personal opinion, not when your team hasn't won in 4 or 5 games. And I don't think he influenced his in-game management was poor for me, because you can't be making attacking substitutions in the 78th minute when you are 2-1 down and you're desperate to win the game. Anyway, that's my rant over.
That's some good,
fantastic points.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said there. Let's go through it. I mean, the signings, you know, I mean, the goalkeeper is just embarrassing, really. That two regimes have not managed to sort this out. We spent 71 million on Kepa, which is, you know, I can't even with that. 71 million for Kepa. Who ironically now is at Bournemouth. the striker, we haven't had a world-class striker, proven world-class striker since Diego Costa.
Alex and that was made a point yesterday. I heard him talking about
When did he leave? Go on.
I heard Alex Goldberg talking about the goalkeeper situation, and I think he was talking about Marcin Bulka. And I think he said one of the reasons he potentially didn't sign last summer, the directors didn't want to sign a goalkeeper more expensive than Sanchez. Now, they obviously realised they made a mistake there and they're trying to save face for the time being.
Doing, man.
But I'm sorry, but imagine that being your priority, not what's best for the team. Sorry, score. Imagine that being your priority.
No, good point. Ridiculous. That is pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic. They should be like, it's not about, I don't care about people's egos. You do what's best for the club. A club that, by the way, pays them a lot of money to do their job, which they're not doing.
And I also keep hearing the stuff about Jackson, you know, he's so highly rated, you know, they don't want to take away his playing time. But yeah, no. they're doing him more harm than good by not signing someone experienced playing alongside him.
I really rate Jackson, but he can't do it all himself. It's unfair to, I mean, he's 22?
Yeah.
Like, he should not be being asked to carry an attack of a top 4 Premier League team at 22. Just like on his own. He's got no support.
And if
Funky wants, and isn't even a striker anyway, so I don't even count him as a striker. He's not a striker. To me, he's a number 10, and that's where he should be playing if you're going to play him. Mark Guey is too raw. I mean, he's got potential, but he's too raw at the moment to play in the Premier League. And we haven't addressed it. Like, we could have signed Liam Delap for 20 million in the summer, by the way. Instead of wasting money on Kieran Dewsbury-Hall, we could have spent that money on Liam Delap.
And another huge concern I've got is with the Palmer situation. You know, the way we're going, it could go the same way as Saka at Arsenal if we keep overplaying him every single game. You know, Felix, I think, is a very good player, but he needs opportunities. Palmer needs rest in some games, because if we keep overplaying him, he's going to be burnt out.
And he'll stop performing. And there's got to be some balance. You know, we don't play again till the weekend, fortunately. But I mean, even if you start him and bring him off in the 65th minute or something, you know, so he's not having to play the whole 90 every game. That's something. You know, we should be able to have the depth to deal with that. I mean, it's not just him who scored our goals this season. Jackson has scored goals. Who else has scored goals? God, I'm struggling now, aren't I? This is the point. We need more goal scorers in the team, and people that know how to do it, that aren't still, you know, like project players. And yeah, it's just, and how they can't see that. Yeah, and they've got the talent, they've got the scouts, they've got the talent spotters. Joe Shields is excellent at what he does, but he's not a sporting director. He doesn't make all those decisions. He doesn't decide the targets in the end, right? He doesn't do the negotiations. He's not a sporting director.
I think we also need to look at, you know, Sancho, Madueke and Neto. They're all really good players, but one of them needs to ideally start scoring a few more. You know, we need a winger who can ideally get 8 to 10 to 12 goals a season. And
I agree. I mean, they're good players, right? But they need to score more goals, and they're capable of it. Sancho is definitely capable of scoring goals. We've seen how good a finisher he can be. He needs to start scoring goals. And you know, Neto, great work rate, Neto, by the way. He's always got a ton of energy. And the thing about Neto is he's really good at crossing, but he hasn't got anyone to cross to. Like, and that's the frustrating. I reckon if we had a proper number 9 who was like good in the air and, you know, whatever, powerful, Neto would be getting tons of assists because he'd be crossing balls and he'd be heading them in. But we haven't got that at the moment. You know, it's this age old problem. Like, I remember when we had Lukaku, when he was on the pitch, we wouldn't cross for him. And as soon as he went off, we'd start putting crosses into the box. Which I never understood that. I still don't understand it now. And I think we're all in agreement.
Am I right in thinking that Osimhen's got a release clause? Has the release clause gone down since last summer? Am I correct in thinking that?
I don't think we'll go for him though, because I think after what happened in the summer, I don't think he's on our radar.
He's exactly what we need, and he's gettable now. I understand, you know, we all like Liam Delap and what we bring to the team, but is he the answer? Because to me, you're just putting more pressure on a young player.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, although if you've got two of them, it makes a difference. And I think he's a strong enough character to deal with it. I think, and I trust Joe Shields absolutely 100%. Guy Carrez, he's got a release clause. They're saying that he'll probably go for less than the release clause when he gets sold. So like, I think they said 60 or 70 million or something like that when he gets sold. It won't be the 100 million that it actually is. So, you know, I mean, yeah, could we nick him out of Sporting in January? I don't know. You know, and certainly he's got the physical attributes to play in the Premier League, and he's a great goal scorer. Obviously, there's always the question of like, would it work in the Premier League? That's always the question when you buy from outside the Premier League. Will they adapt? And there's going to be an adaptation period as well. Like, and I guess there's a certain degree of, well, he's played in the Championship. He knows the Championship. He's scored in the Championship. So yeah, maybe that lessens the risk, but still a risk. And that's the problem. I mean, buying a striker is the hardest thing to do, I think. Buying a striker that you know is going to pay off and going to score regularly is really, really difficult to do. Like I said, we haven't had a striker. Costa, when did Costa leave?
2017.
8 years, man.
I thought we left in January 2018.
Well, no, it's 7 years since Courtois left. It's 8 years since Costa left. And those two positions have yet to be filled, really.
I mean, I've got to be honest. I'm getting very concerned with the players we're being linked with. And to me, it doesn't seem like the sporting directors are learning. There doesn't need to be any pressure on them. I'm just very concerned. I mean, we're going back.
I'm actually happy with Mark Guhi because he's got 3-4 years Premier League experience. He's played for England in a major tournament. He's captain of Crystal Palace. He was captain of Crystal Palace at 22. He's a leader. He's a calming influence. He's proven in the Premier League. He's more experienced than any of our centre-backs. I know he's only 24, but he's got a lot of experience for 24. And, of course, he knows Chelsea because he's from Cobham. That is an encouraging link. That's why that's an encouraging link for me. That's why Louis and I both want him because of that. And we need someone like that up front as well. We need someone who's doesn't have to be old. They can be 24, 25, but as long as they've got enough experience and then they've done it at a top level, and they've got the physical profile that we need desperately, then yeah, get them. And you know, ultimately it's not our job to find them. We're just fans. The job to find them is the scouts and the sporting directors. And you know, they've got to sort it out. They've got to do something this window. Their jobs are on the line as far as I'm concerned if they don't sort it out this window. If we don't get top four this season, they're the ones that have got to go for it.
I hate to be like I'm always a glass half full, but you know, some of these stories coming out the last couple of days, you know, the stuff with Carney, now the stuff with Vega, you know, Vega's now demanding to play at centre back. You know, he wanted to go to Dortmund. Now he wants to stay at the club. You know, we need to get some of these players out the doors. You know, Vega, he's never going to make it as a centre back at Chelsea. So our best bet is just to loan them with an option and less obligation to buy. Carney.
Before I go, I completely agree, by the way, Chelsea Rambles. I think Vega is a disgrace. You got into the Portuguese team because you played for Chelsea at left back. Remember where you came from, Basel, 12 million from Basel. Like, you can't come and start to dictate. Sorry. One thing before I go, because I'm going to go, is I will end with a positive, which is not really in keeping him with my reputation on here, but I will end with a positive, and that is Reece James. What a captain.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. Chelsea fans who, every time he gets injured, talk about sell him, sell him, sell him. You do not sell guys like that.
Exactly. I've said that many times on the show. Earlier in the season, we had one of these shows, and everyone was talking about, oh, we should sell Reece James, we should sell Reece James. You know, like, and I was like, first, he's our captain. Second, he's from Cobham. He gets what this club is about and he cares about this club. And even if he only plays half a season or a third of a season every season, it's worth keeping him because he gets it, right? And because also when he's fit, he's world class. And, like today he came on and yeah, you're right, teams. He was a leader. He showed up, you know, he took on the responsibility of the free kick to start with, you know, because he's not always the first choice to take free kicks. And then he took an absolute worldie and got an equaliser for his team. And you could see what it meant to him as well. And, you know, I just want the best for him. I hope he has a run of games where he's fit now, because if he has a run of games where he's fit, that's going to improve Chelsea 100%. There's absolutely no doubt about that. A fit Reece James improves any team he plays for. And if he can stay fit, if we can manage his minutes well, like give him 60 minutes in a game if you have to do that. 60 minutes of Reece James is still better than 0 minutes. And then we've got backups, you know, we've got other players that can play that position and come on when he comes off. So yeah, I'm with you, teams. Absolutely. 100%. He gets it. He wants to be here. He cares about this club. We need people like that. And he's a leader. He's a quiet leader, but he is still a leader. He leads by example. And he set an example today. And that is a good positive. We started with that positive, and we'll probably end with that as well. But thank you, teams. It's always good to have you here. Please do feel free to come every time. We always love having your views.
Great points made, teams. Agree pretty much everything you said.
Yep, pretty much.
Take care, guys.
Yeah, have a good one.
Take care. So that was good discussions there. Thanks, teams. Thanks, Oth. I really appreciate it. Oz is still up here. Wow, didn't even realise that. He's been very quiet. I respect that. But yeah, I mean, I think we've covered everything today. Like, it's not even the result today. There's a lot of other things going on at the club which need to be sorted out, and they affect what happens on the pitch.
I'm really, really frustrated tonight. And, you know, I'm normally one of these fans who's, you know, glass half full, everything's going to be all right. But I'm just seeing the same mistakes game after game after game. And I, as I've said several times tonight, I think the owners need to start looking at Winstanley and Stewart. And questions need to be asked about the squad build. And questions need to be asked about the players we're looking at bringing in. Because I'm concerned, very concerned, the players were being linked with this January. I don't know if they're... No, yes, they are talented players, but are they really going to come in and help us with this current situation? You know, we could bring in Matthias Tell and Liam Delap tomorrow. And they've got huge potential, but, you know, you're bringing in more youngsters.
They're not guaranteed, are they? Yeah, 100%. I will end with another positive as well. Despite not winning in five games, Chelsea are still fourth in the Premier League. And we're still 2 points above Manchester City, who are in sixth, who threw away a 2-goal lead today, against Brentford. So, I think we can get a point there. I think we can get a point at Man City. Although they'll probably have all their new signings in place by the time they play us. Of course, as always happens. We're still in the top four despite this awful run. Hopefully the sporting directors see sense and buy some proper players. We don't know if that will happen, but we can only hope. Reece James, that's a big positive for today as well. And we all love Reece James. And thanks to him for getting us that point. There's a lot of work to do at Chelsea. There's a lot of things that need to be sorted out. It's a frustrating result today. Make sure you do check out the Chelsea Echo Twitter account. The voice note review will be there sometime later today, if not early tomorrow. This show will be available as a podcast tomorrow, so do check that out if you want to listen back, or if that's the way you listen to it. You can check that out. They're all on the Chelsea Echo Twitter account, so make sure you give that a follow. Give Rambles a follow, give teams a follow, Louis, me, Oth, give everyone a follow. Thanks to everyone who's come up and contributed today, Louis, Oth, teams, you've all been fantastic. It's been really, really great to talk about Chelsea today, even though it's been frustrating. So thanks everyone for your contributions. Let's hope that things can get better for our next game, and we'll be back with a show after that. So take care everyone, and up the Chelsea!